Sunday, the 10th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Glenn Big Dog Robinson. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Wheezy Anna 6. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, just leave a review on iTunes, just like Wheezy Anna 6 did. Thank you for doing that, Wheezy Anna 6, and thank you to everyone else who has left a review for the show on iTunes. It is much appreciated. Don't forget also, Moneyball.com.au is Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. You can play heaps of NBA on there. You can play lots of other sports that are relatively Australian specific, but there's NFL action on there as well. So make sure all you guys in Australia and New Zealand are checking out Moneyball. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about today. We've got the NBA action from Saturday. We've got the NBA preview for a relatively jam-packed Sunday slate of games, which is not something we normally see at this point of the year. But there's a lot of games on. There's 9 games on Sunday. So
let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. It was close. It was very close. In the end, I went with Steph Curry. We know how good he's been this year. And it had been a little while. I mentioned the other day, it's been a while since we've seen a relatively big Steph Curry game. But he did it here. He played 38 minutes. He had 38 points. He had 8 triples, and in doing so became the first player in NBA history to record at least 8 threes in 7 games. And he's done that already, and we're not even halfway through the season. He is just draining threes at ridiculous rates. He had 6 rebounds. He had 11 assists. He threw in a steal. He threw in a block. He went 12 of 21 from the field, which is a great percentage on massive volume. He went 6 of 7 from the free throw line as well. So Steph, after a red-hot start to the season, who had cooled off marginally, back to his best here, he is still averaging 4.6 triples a game this year. That's a full extra 3 a game over what he was averaging last year when he set the NBA record. That's an additional 33% better than last year what he's doing. It's incredible. He's still giving you over 2 steals a game. He's shooting 51 and 90 and 45 from 3. Just, 5 rebounds, 6.5 assists. The assists are a bit down from last year, but he's rebounding the ball more aggressively. He's putting in just fantastic, fantastic numbers, Steph Curry, and you'd be really, really happy if you had that number 2 pick and drafted him. So big ups to Steph Curry, and big ups to you if you've got him on your team. And I've got him in a Dynasty League, and I am very, very happy to have him in that Dynasty League. It's a pretty good feeling knowing you've got Steph in a format like that. The waiver wire line of the night: Jeremy Lin of the Charlotte Hornets. I am shocked that Lin is owned in only 48% of leagues. It's way too low. He played 41 minutes here, 26 points, had 3 triples, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He had a steal. He went 9 of 16 from the field, which is not something that he's going to do all that often. 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He should be owned in basically every league. He got extra run here with Nick Batum being out. Yes, but over the last month, he's ranked inside the top 80 on the year. He's averaging 33 minutes a game, and Batum hasn't been out for all of that time. In the last month, he's at 16, 4, and 3.5. Half a steal, a block a game. A block a game over a month, he's doing that. That's great. 1.3 triples. He's also shooting 47%. So I said that when he shot the 50-plus in this game, that it's not something he usually does. His field goal percentage has been pretty good this year. And he's a guy that, I own him in 12-team leagues. I can't see why you shouldn't be owning him. He's... Now, PJ Harrison starts, but he doesn't get starters minutes. It's basically Lin and Walker who handle the majority of the playing time in the backcourt for Charlotte, and I don't really see it changing much because he's playing well. He's changing his hairstyle, it feels like, every week, and the one that he rocked today was humorous. But he has to be owned. He's just putting up big numbers. It's not Linsanity. It'll never be Linsanity. We know that, but he's a very, very serviceable NBA player. He's a great sixth man. He probably should start for a number of teams in the league. Imagine how good he'd be on Philadelphia. Not that Ish Smith's not playing well, but Lin is putting up some great numbers. Make sure that he's owned in your league, because obviously the majority of leagues he isn't, and that's that needs to change. The young gun of the night, very happy to say this one as well, Nikola Mirotic of the Chicago Bulls. He's just looking better and better every game. 38 minutes for Mirotić, which is probably the best part of his stat line. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 blocks, 5 triples on 8 of 17 shooting. Now, please tell me that Nikola Mirotić is owned in your league. I know you can't tell me directly because we're not having a face-to-face conversation, but hopefully he's owned. And yes, he had a rough stretch, and he definitely had a rough stretch, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 60 player. He's averaging over 30 minutes a game in his last four, and in those four, he's at 16.5 points, almost 3 triples, 7 rebounds, a steal, a block on 44 and 88. His fantasy potential is absolutely through the roof. We just need to make sure, or we need to hope, that Fred Hoiberg keeps him in the upper 20s, close to 30 minutes. And he should, because he is one of their best players. And yes, he struggled early on, and yes, he was terrible at times, but the talent is there. He's rediscovered whatever confidence he was lacking and putting up big numbers. The return of Joakim Noah is going to be interesting because Fred Hoiberg keeps insisting that Bobby Portis is going to remain in the rotation. I'm not really sure why, because Portis hasn't been playing that well of late. I don't know what sort of minutes Portis is going to maintain in the rotation. I don't know what they're going to come at the expense of. Maybe they come at the expense of Noah. Maybe they come at the expense of Taj Gibson. But Mirotić playing the three and playing the four, which he did for a big chunk in this one, where Portis was limited to just 9 minutes. Mirotić has to continue to get this run because he's been playing really well. The Bulls lost today, but they'd won 5 or 6 in a row prior to this, and it coincided with Mirotić playing well. So hopefully Hoiberg's just letting him run out there, letting him play, and the stats will come for us from a fantasy point of view. Another big game from Mirotić. He is a dead set triple one threat to finish this season. He's not quite there at the moment, but over the last month, he definitely is. 2 threes, 1 steal, 1 block a game, and that's incorporating some of those really troubling or trying times that he went through, where he was getting minutes in the teens and being yanked after 2 minutes to start quarters and stuff like that. That is a thing of the past for the time being. Hopefully Hoiberg, new coach, figuring out rotations, hopefully he's got something that he likes here. But the return of Noah gives me 5% level of scaredness, and that is not a real thing, but I'm just a little bit worried that he does something dumb and pulls Mirotić back to 20 minutes. Very, very minorly worried, because Mirotić is showing how good he is. But there is that concern that, for some reason he wants to keep Portis in the rotation, and we'll talk about Portis a little bit later, but Mirotić is putting up some big, big numbers at the moment. The dud of the night, I think it's a guy that we can give a pass to, Kemba Walker. He played 38 minutes, but nothing was happening for him against the Clippers. 11 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Didn't have a 3, didn't have a steal, didn't have a block. He went 4 of 16 from the field, and actually 3 of 5 from the free throw line as well, and turned the ball over 4 times, which is not something that he usually does. Not a great night from Kemba, but let's give him a pass because he's a top 30 player this year, and bordering on top 20. He's been fantastic. This just wasn't his night. Never a great matchup going up against Chris Paul, and that's basically exactly what happened in this one. So not Kemba's best outing. Let's look at now today's perfect DFS lineup. There we go. At point guard, Steph Curry, 61.7. The Kings matchup was decent for him. He hadn't been able to put up these big lines, so I was a little bit hesitant of spending up, but if you did, obviously it paid up. Ish Smith was a great one at 45 points. He had his career high in scoring in this game. He was doing everything. Nice night from him. At shooting guard, Jeremy Lamb would have been a real tough one to include in a lineup. He was benched in the last game for the Hornets. He was benched in the last game for the Hornets to let Troy Daniels play, and then Daniels didn't play at all in this one. So it was odd to see Lamb get so many minutes and put up such a big, big number, but 36.6 for him. And then the other one, Chris Johnson. He started in place of Rod Hood. He put up 29.3. He smothered Dwayne Wade. He had steals and blocks and threes. He was doing everything. That would have been a complete let's just see what happens when we find out that that Hood's out, maybe Johnson's going to play 30 minutes, and you couldn't really have projected that because he's never done this before in his life. At small forward, Rudy Gay 41.3 and Gordon Hayward at 32.3. Hayward was always in a nice spot. I mentioned him yesterday. Gay going up against the Warriors, it's one of the areas the Warriors don't defend all that well, is the small forward position, and he was a quite valuable player to look at there. But the small forward didn't have a huge amount of value on Saturday. At our power forward, Ersan Ilyasova went for 39.1. A big, big night for Ersan. We'll talk about him a little bit more later. And power forward, Paul Millsap, 46.1. And Al Horford, 64. The Bulls' front court is... they might not be terrible defensively, and some of the guys aren't great. Now, Mirotić is probably a little bit, overrated in his badness. He's made out to be a worse defender than he is. But in terms of fantasy points allowed to big men, the Bulls are one of the best teams to go up against. And Horford and Millsap combined for over 110 FanDuel points here. And that's obviously a huge return on your investment there. And playing guys who are going into the Bulls in the front court has generally been a really wise investment most of the season. It's one of those ones that maybe it'll change at some point, and maybe the return of Noah slows that. But even when Noah was playing, they were still a really good option to go out and put your guys against. The total of that lineup would have been 395.4, which is obviously a very, very high score. Okay, let's move into these games now and look at the box scores in a little bit more detail. There we go. The first game we're going to take a look at is the Charlotte Hornets and the Los Angeles Clippers. An early game here. Jeremy Lamb, 34 minutes. He played off the bench, 18 and 13. He had two triples, a steal, and a block. And as I mentioned, he was coming off the bench and didn't even play much in the last game due to Troy Daniels, if you can believe that. But a big game from Lamb. When Batou comes back, he'll go back to that 15 to 17 minute role and have no interest for us for fantasy leagues. So take it as it is. Deeper leagues, yeah, look at it as long as Batum is out. Cody Zeller didn't hit his shots well. 2 of 7 and 2 of 4 from the free throw line, but still grabbed 13 rebounds and had a block. Ended with 6 points. Not his greatest night, but the minutes are still there. You know what my thoughts are on Cody Zeller. Marvin Williams back to 30 minutes. He's just not getting it done, though. 3 of 12 from the field. His form of late has not been good. He has a couple of good games sprinkled in, but then you get a lot of games like this. 7 points, 1-3, 3 rebounds, and a block shot. Not a must-own in 10-team leagues, and it's bordering on not must-own in 12-team leagues as well. On the Clippers, Chris Paul, 25, 7-7, 3 threes, 2 steals, and a block. Remember when everyone was talking about Chris Paul being washed up to start the season? That's not a thing anymore. DeAndre Jordan, 11-19 for him with 4 blocks. A pretty good night there. And JJ Redick, again, putting up big numbers in Blake Griffin's absence. 6 of 10 from the field for 17 points and 3 threes. And some news on Blake Griffin. Apparently, he's not going to be ready to come back towards the end of January. So we're still looking at 2 weeks away for Griffin at this point, which is obviously a pain in the ass if you're holding on to him. Jamal Crawford had his best game in a while. 31 minutes for Crawford, 19 points with a 3, 1 rebound and 2 assists, but he is not worthy of adding in 12-team leagues for me, nor is Paul Pierce, Wes Johnson, Pablo Prigioni. None of those guys do enough. And Austin Rivers cooled off after he had a pretty hot streak of form. He played 24 minutes and had 6 points with 2 assists and a steal. But if you did add him because of the hotness and the scoring and the threes, see how you go. Give it one more game. It wouldn't be so quick to cut him because that role for him, that 24 to 26 minute role off the bench, is going to extend for another two weeks or so with Griffin out of the action. The Chicago Bulls and the Atlanta Hawks. Jimmy Butler really struggled early on. It took him almost till halftime to get his first field goal, but ended with 27-8. Had a 3, 2 assists, a steal, and a block. So a big all-round performance. And Derrick Rose is really starting to get things sort of going. That was not a great sentence, but he's looking better. 17-3-5, 2 steals and a block. Yes, the 5 of 15 shooting isn't ideal, but he's starting to look a bit better. He's averaging 17.8 across his last 4 since returning from injury. 3 rebounds, 0.8 threes, half a steal. Needs to do more in some of those other areas, and it is a tough to own him unless you're punting field goals, but he's starting to look a bit better. Taj Gibson played 26 minutes, 10-4 for Taj. Wasn't foul trouble related. The Bulls did get blown out, but I imagine that Gibson's probably going to cop the biggest brunt when Noah returns. That might mean that he plays, instead of 30 minutes a night, he plays 25 minutes a night. It remains to be seen. Pau Gasol, he'd been on fire. He wasn't. Yeah, 10-7-5 with a block, and the small forward combination of Tony Snell and Doug McDermott didn't do a lot. Snell went 7-2-2, and McDermott went 6-4. And on to Bobby Portis. He played 9 minutes. He missed all 3 of his field goal attempts, had 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block. Yes, he's got great per-minute potential. His per-36 numbers look really good, but he can't establish a role with Noah out. and Noah's going to be back, and yes, Højbjerg wants to keep him in the rotation and all that stuff, but what does it mean? 12 minutes a game? I think the time of stashing Bobby Portis is over. It was probably over a couple of games ago, to be honest, when he just couldn't really get anything happening. He is only averaging in his last 2 weeks 8.6 points. 7.7 rebounds is still good, but you know, half a steal, 0.7 blocks. His fantasy potential is there. There's no doubt that it's there. It's very impressive, but what concerns me is his role moving forward. That you can't get, if you can't get 25 minutes with Noah out, how are you going to get 25 minutes with Noah back in? And even if someone gets traded, say Noah gets traded, say Gibson gets traded, what makes him go from 18 minutes up to 27 magically then? Because one guy's out now, and he's not getting close to that. Yes, he will improve. Yes, the team loves him. Yes, the coach loves him. I'm not putting a massive amount of faith in him being a reliable fantasy contributor this season, though. So I reckon if there's someone out there that you want, if you're stashing Bobby Portis, I wouldn't be. The Hawks, Al Horford, he was real close to the monstrous line of the night. 33, 10, and 6. He had a steal, 4 blocks, a 3. He went 15 of 21 from the field. He hit both his free throws and also didn't have a turnover. A really massive, massive night from Horford, who's been on fire lately, just putting up big lines after big lines. And Paul Millsap wasn't far behind him. 18 and 8, 3 assists, 2 steals, 6 blocks. These guys combined for 10 blocks. Just, those two are so underrated in the scheme of the NBA. It's not funny. Jeff Teague sprained his ankle early in the game. And I sent out a tweet going at Dennis Schroeder, just in case it's serious. Teague returned a quarter later, but only played 25 minutes. He can't get big minutes anymore. I don't know what's going on. 12, 2, and 6 for him, a 3, and a steal. You're still holding Jeff Teague, but what you're looking at now is Dennis Schroeder getting more minutes. He played 21 here. He went 13, 5, and 8, had 2 threes, 2 steals, and a block. That's really productive. So if you went and added Schroeder after I said add him because of the injury, and then saw Teague come back, hold on to him. He's carving out a role now. I don't know if it's him carving out a role. I don't know if it's the Hawks not having as much faith in Teague. Whatever it is, it's working out in Schroeder's favor at the moment. And we know that he can be close to a top 50 guy if he was to get 30 minutes. And he snuck into the top 100 after his last three games in just 22 minutes. 11 points, but over a 3, 7 assists, 4.5 rebounds, 1.5 steals, 48% shooting. Yeah, lots to like about what Schroeder's doing. So he's a guy that is worth adding and just seeing how this situation plays out. Do these guys just start playing 22 and 26 minutes? And if that's the case, Schroeder at 22 minutes, it has back-end value. And then if something happens to Teague, through the roof. Kyle Korver hit 3 triples, so that's something for him. 13 points and a block. Yeah, that's okay. And Kent Bazemore, after a big game the other night against the Sixers, not his best one here. 9, 4, and 3. 2 steals and a 3. So still contributed in other areas. Tim Hardaway is actually entering the rotation a little bit now. Doesn't mean he's good. 2 points for him in 16 minutes. And Mike Scott had a decent game. Hit a couple of 3s. 14 points and a steal and a block on red-hot shooting. But he's only worth looking at in your deeper sort of formats. Disappointing to me that Eddie Tavares was out of this one. Thabo was also missing with a sore wrist, and that enabled Justin Holiday and Tim Hardaway to get more run on the wings. The Washington Wizards and the Orlando Magic. Good win for the Wizards in the end. John Wall, 24, 5, and 10. 3 triples and 4 steals. He just continues to be fantastic, as does Otto Porter, who's really stepped his game up with Bradley Beal out. 16, 2, and 2 for Porter. 2 triples, 4 steals. Now, when Beal comes back, Porter is going to lose some usage and some touches, and that's going to make his stats deflate. But when Beal comes back, Beal's not going to be coming back and playing 40 minutes a night. He'll come back, and he's going to be on a minutes restriction. And I'm guessing it's going to be a relatively lengthy minutes restriction. So Porter will take a hit, but he won't take a full-sized hit because Beal's not coming back in a full-sized capacity straight away. If someone loves Otto Porter and wants to throw, top 60, top 70 pick or top 70 value guy your way for him, sure. But I do really like Porter. I liked him when he was shit. I still like him now. And he's putting up big numbers and looking more involved in the play. Jared Dudley had a big night, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, hit 4 triples as well. He's still a borderline 12-team league guy. He was obviously helped by the fact that Chris Humphries and Nene were both out of this one. Gary Neal chimed in with 16 points in 22 minutes, and Yeah, I don't need to say too much about Gary Neal. And Garrett Temple, 11-4-4 in his 33 minutes. He is really only useful as a streaming option. Marcin Gortat, 12-10 with a steal and a block. He's just a real consistent sort of guy. DFS, standard leagues, you know what you're going to get, and you've got the ability for him to go bigger as well. So he's a guy that I really like, and I think he's really underappreciated. On the Magic, Nikola Vucevic, 23-9, 5 assists and a steal, so a good night there. And Victor Oladipo, big minutes again, 39 for him with our Lord Alfred out, 17-3-5, 2 triples, a steal and a block. The big story though from the Magic is Aaron Gordon. He played 30 minutes, 10-10, a 3, an assist and 2 steals. The minutes had been threatening this for a while. He'd been at 22, 23, 25. He went big here, got 30 minutes. Scott Skiles' former boyfriend, Andrew Nicholson, played just 2 minutes, which is a great sign for Gordon's development. Gordon is a guy that I've been saying I reckon you should hold on to in 12-team leagues for about the last week or 2 weeks, and obviously you're happy with this result and you're still holding. It's Skiles, though. Does he go and play Andrew Nicholson 20 minutes again? Who knows? What does he do with Channing Frye? If Frye starts and play 18 minutes, it doesn't matter. You just want Gordon to get these 30 minutes off the bench and work with the bench unit, and then work with some with the starters as well, and play over Jason Smith and play over Andrew Nicholson. And he's jumped ahead of these guys over the last week and a half, say, and that's a great sign. So Gordon's a guy that I'd be looking to add in 12-team leagues if I've got an expendable roster spot. Toby Harris, not so good. 11-4, an assist and 2 steals in his 35 minutes, but I don't think his role is in much jeopardy. And Evan Fournier, just 11 points with 4 assists in his 37 minutes. The Brooklyn Nets and the Detroit Pistons. The Nets, interesting development here. Shane Larkin started again, as usual, but then Donald Sloan came off the bench and started the second half and put up his second career double-double, 15 points, 2 threes, and 10 assists. Now, I'm 75% sure, 70% sure maybe, that Shane Larkin will remain the starter for the next game and for the immediate future. But Sloan's a guy that, if you've got a dead weight spot, maybe add him and see what happens. He's not a good player. Larkin's not a great player either, but Larkin is younger and he's better and he's got more potential than what Sloan does. So I think that they would want to get Larkin out there if they can. But it's Lionel Hollins. Bad mistakes, he's made a few. Sloan could get out there and play some minutes, and his game is pretty fantasy friendly. We saw at the start of last season when George Hill and Rod Stuckey were down in Indiana, Sloan would start. I think he even got a triple-double. I might be imagining that, but he was putting up some big numbers, and then he went back to being a DMP CD. He's a very much an emergency point guard who can rack up stats, but is not necessarily great for the team. Let's see what the Nets do with this. I picked up Larkin in, I reckon, 5 or 6 leagues. I haven't dropped him in any of them. I want to hold out and see how this plays, because he still gave me 3 assists here, and that's what I wanted him for. I want him to give me 5 assists and 1.5 to 2 steals. Not a great night here, not a good sign, but I still think that he'll go back in the next game and start and play 28 minutes and give me those numbers that I hope. If you're not as confident in me as Shane Larkin, and you've got every right not to be, because he's not a great player, he's not even a good player at this point in his career, then make a move. Get Donald Sloan. A lot of people making the move to drop Larkin and get Aaron Gordon. I saw that, and that's something that's weird to me. And the reason is I build my teams very specifically. So if I'm dropping a point guard, I'm picking up a power forward, it's just affecting what my team's doing. So I would have thought if you added Larkin, you added him because you needed assists and steals. And then you add Gordon to give you rebounds and blocks. That's the way I look at a team, and that's the way I look at these additions. Sometimes I might make an add just for value, but very much so. I added Larkin because I went, punt field goal percentage in a lot of leagues and needed assists and I needed steals. So that's why I added Larkin. In the leagues where I don't need those categories, I didn't go and make a move for him. And that's the way I approach a lot of these things is, yes, Aaron Gordon probably has more upside than Larkin at the moment, but it might not fit what I'm doing. And I know people, you can flip him for a trade and all that sort of stuff, but let's be honest, 9 times out of 10, that never happens. Markel Brown started in place of Bojan Bogdanovic. Don't really understand the point of that. 14 minutes for Brown, 2 points, 3 rebounds, and Bojan Bogdanovic went back to 24 minutes off the bench and had 0 points. It's 2 stinkers in a row for Bogdanovic. You can drop him in standard leagues. Joe Johnson was solid. 34 minutes for him, 14, 4, and 4 with two threes. Definitely stepped up his game with Jack out. So Johnson's a guy that is definitely on a 12-team league radar to me, as dumb as that might sound, given the way that his career or his season has gone. On the Pistons, Andre Drummond, 23 and 11, but added three steals and two blocks. And Reggie Jackson, 33 minutes. So again, we saw early on there was maybe a little bit of worry of Brandon Jennings. That's not happening. 33 minutes for Jackson, 23, 3 and 8, three triples. He's going to retain pretty similar value, I would imagine. Now, Jennings played just 15 minutes here, didn't score, had five assists, and that's valuable in a deeper sort of format. Ersan Ilyasova, a big night, 19 and 13, two triples, a steal and a block, and I think he should be owned in most leagues, and he's significantly undervalued at the moment. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope stunk, 37 minutes for him, 5, 3, and 4. He did add three steals, so that was pretty handy. And Marcus Morris was out with knee tendonitis. He'd been terrible anyway. Stanley Johnson made the start, played 39 minutes, so straight into those big minutes, and he didn't really provide much, 8 and 4. Two steals and a block was still nice, but I'm not rushing to go and add Stanley Johnson in a standard league based on this. Morris will likely be back for the next game, and then Johnson will be back to that 22, 23-minute role we've seen from him over the duration of the season. The Toronto Raptors and the Philadelphia 76ers. Kyle Lowry, in his hometown, or where he went to college anyway, Philadelphia, he was determined to put on a big show, and he was pretty good. 25, 6 and 5, a 3 and 2 steals. Really efficient shooting, a big night from him. DeMar DeRozan, not his greatest performance, but still 19, 7 and 5, pretty good value there. And Jonas Valanciunas is definitely getting things back in business now. 29 minutes for JV, 17 and 9, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. I would be shocked if when we look at just the numbers from 2016 portion of the year, I would be shocked if Valanciunas is not a top 50 player when we get to the end of the year. I'm massively high on his ability and his fantasy ability. He has been blocking shots like crazy as well lately. That will probably drop back to a sort of a career level, but he's adding an extra part to his game. His percentages are awesome. He's a points and rebounds guy. He's getting a few steals. I really like Valanciunas. Patrick Patterson was the power forward of choice today after doing literally nothing yesterday. 11 points, 3 threes, 2 rebounds and 2 assists, while Luis Scola played 18 minutes for 2 points. Neither of those guys are trustworthy enough for standard leagues. And James Johnson played 13 minutes in the start, 5 points with a steal. Only 13 minutes. Terrence Ross and Corey Joseph got the bulk of the minutes. 31 for Joseph, going 9, 5, and 4 with a steal and a block. And Terrence Ross had 16 points with a 3 in 24 minutes. Not must-own guys, Joseph and Ross, but you can add them. You can see how it works out. You can stream them in and out depending on what numbers you need. But I think overall it's just going to be a melange of worst player on your roster sort of value guys with them. The Sixers, Ish Smith, 28, 5, and 4, 2 triples and 3 steals. He was fantastic, and he's been a fantastic pickup. You know, he's not even owned in 70% of leagues, though. So unless 35% of leagues are inactive, people need to work out what's going on, and he needs to be added. I'm sure in everyone listening to this, he's owned in your league. Maybe by you, maybe not. Jahlil Okafor, 34 minutes. So his minutes are back up to prior to his knee injury. 9, 6, and 4, 2 steals and a block. So a good all-round performance. And Nerlens Noel, you look at his line. He played 33 minutes, he got 4 points. That's not good. But 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. And that's a very Nerlens Noel-y sort of line. If he had 10 points there, 10-8 with 2 steals and 3 blocks, we'd be singing his praises. He's doing exactly what we want him to do. Big steal numbers, big block numbers, good rebounding numbers. And any sort of points he gets is a bit of a bonus at this point. Nick Stauskas started. Nothing, 3 points. Jeremy Grant started in place of Jakar Sampson, 3 points. The small forward position is a joke at the moment. Sampson, 2 points in his 17 minutes, and Bob Cove played just 9 minutes for 6 points, both from three. He can be dropped in most leagues at this point. He's just not getting a role. When they're starting Jakar Sampson and Jeremy Grant over you and giving Hollis Thompson 31 minutes, there is something seriously wrong, because Sampson and Thompson are not part of a playoff Sixers team. Grant might be, but these other guys are no good. Covington has got ability, but there is something drastically wrong at the moment. He can be moved on for if there's someone good to pick up. And it's always the caveat. Don't go and pick up someone who's crap just because you want to drop him. Pick up something that's going to be useful. And then if not, hold on for another 2 days, 3 days, and see what transpires. Isaiah Cannon played just 10 minutes here, and he had 6 points with a couple of threes too. And TJ McConnell, again, getting all of the backup point guard minutes with Kendall Marshall relegated to the bench. 8 assists for McConnell with 2 steals in his 15 minutes. The Miami Heat and the Utah Jazz. Chris Bosh, 24-7 with a couple of threes. A good night from him. Dwayne Wade was bad, 8-5-4. He shot 3 of 17 and then 2 of 5 from the free throw line. Chris Johnson really shut Dwayne Wade down. He also suffered a shoulder strain. He returned to the game and played 33 minutes, so it doesn't look like it was too much of a problem, but not a good night from him. And Hassan Whiteside did that thing again where he puts up nice fantasy lines, 31 minutes. 10 points, 11 rebounds, a steal, 4 blocks, but he was legitimately terrible. Again, on defense, he is just a really, really bad defender, and 4 blocks and a steal do not transition into him being a good defender. It's going to be interesting to see what the Heat do. There is no chance, I think, that he plays for the Heat next year. He could get dealt this year. There's a lot that they don't like about him. Number one is the lack of defense. They don't like his attitude as well. There is a big chance. I'd say that's a 99% chance he does not play for Miami next season. Goran Dragic, after his big game in Phoenix, cooled off somewhat expectedly. 16 points with 2 threes, still had a steal and a block, so a nice sort of line from him, and he's definitely improved. And Tyler Johnson still battling his shoulder problem. He missed out in this game, and they said it's probably going to be something that bothers him for most of the season. So Gerald Green's going to have more times than not of getting big minutes. Green played 34 here, 13 points, 6 rebounds. He had a 3, an assist, 2 steals, and a block. What do you do with Gerald Green? Is he worth an ad in a 12-team league? Look, you could probably do worse, but I reckon you could probably also do better. If you're in a 14-team league, I've got no doubt you're adding Gerald Green. In a 12-team league, if you need some threes and if you need some steals, yeah, there's some value there for him. He doesn't do a huge amount else, but he can have those threes in bunches and fives or sixes and get some decent scoring nights. And if the minutes are going to be a little bit bumped because Johnson is... because Johnson's struggling with his shoulder injury, you might want to have a look. Touched on Chris Johnson earlier before. Played 31 minutes here, but a fantastic line. 14, 4, and 3, and then a Richie Beno as well. 2 threes, 2 steals, 2 blocks on 6 of 9 shooting. There is very little incentive for me to pick him up outside of a deep league, unless we find out that this Rod Hood injury is more severe than what it currently is. He was a shutdown guy on Dwayne Wade here, which was great. To think that he's going to be able to do that consistently, though, feels a bit disingenuous. I just don't think he's going to be able to, you know, retain that sort of value moving forward, and I'm not looking to add him in a standard league. Hal Neto played 33 minutes with Trey Burke only getting 19. Neto went 13, 2, and 5 and had 3 steals. Yeah, leave him alone. And Gordon Hayward had 34 points with 4 rebounds with 2 threes in 37 minutes. Rudy Gobert back to the starting lineup and back doing Rudy Gobert things. 9, 5, and 4, but a steal and 4 blocks in 28 minutes. Talk about him a little bit later. Interesting to see how he does in the back-to-back that the Jazz are going to play, but he looks like he's ready to be activated off your IR spot. And Trey Lyles played another 32 minutes, 3 points, but 10 rebounds and 3 steals, and he's looking a lot better. I'm not adding him in leagues, but I am dropping Jeff Withey in leagues, who was fantastic. The Jazz guys couldn't rave enough about how good Withey was with Gobert out. But unless they've got, you know, Gobert out again or in favors out again, then he's not going to be useful for standard leagues. Trevor Booker can obviously also be dropped now too, and Trey Burke, only the 19 minutes for him. Favors and Hood still out of the game, or still out for the Jazz. Hopefully they're back pretty soon. The next game, the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. Now, just before I get into that, just got a tweet just came through, just something I was referencing early. Michael Altmaier on Twitter said, should I drop Larkin for Aaron Gordon? It looks like a timeshare in Brooklyn. That's what I mean. This is the sort of thing that a lot of people are asking. And my answer to everyone, Michael's probably not listening to the podcast because I just talked about it. It just depends on what you need. And it depends on what you're going to do. Yeah, it looks like a timeshare for one game, for a half of a game. It might not be in the next game. It really depends on what you think of Larkin as a player and what you need. If you don't need assists, then there's no point with Shane Larkin. Get rid of him if you want rebounds and you want a guy who can hit a three and get some blocks, and then Gordon's your man. I think that Gordon should be owned, but if you're just dying for assists and a guy who can get you 2 steals, then Larkin's going to be a better option there. It really depends. The Warriors, Draymond Green, 25-9-4. He hit 5 triples and had 2 steals and 2 blocks, so a big night from him. Klay Thompson, not quite as effective as what he'd been previously, 15-4-6. And Brandon Rush, after his explosion, wasn't quite the same guy, but still effective in 19 minutes. 11 points, 3 triples, a steal, and a block from Rush. Festus Ezeli also got back to 16 minutes here, and that limited, and well, didn't really limit Andrew Bogut. He still played 23. Ezeli went 8-6, and Bogut had 2-11. And Harrison Barnes still working his way back to starters' minutes. 24 minutes for Barnes, 10-4 with a 3. If you've held on to him this long, you just keep holding. But I'm not rushing to go and add Harrison Barnes off a waiver wire, although it does depend on who I'd be dropping. For the Kings, DeMarcus Cousins, 33-10, 2 threes and 3 steals. Another big night from him. Same with Rudy Gay, who went 23-9 and chipped in 2 threes and 2 steals. And Darren Collison was great off the bench here. 31 minutes for him, 16-2-6, and he belongs in 12-team leagues. Quincy Acey got another start and played 22 minutes. I don't really understand that. And Marco Ballinelli, 32 minutes off the bench, took a lot of shots, only hit 5 of them, 5 of 14 for 13 points with 3 triples, while Rajon Rondo went 4, 3, and 12. Definitely not his best game. Willie Cauley-Stein returned from that finger injury and played 9 minutes for 10 points. No defensive stats, a little bit of a weird line from him. Still no Omri Caspi, and when Caspi returns, it's going to impact Quincy Acey. Hopefully it'll take all of Acey's minutes away, and I think it'll impact Ballinelli some as well. All right, that's it for the review of the games on Saturday. Time for a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk about the DFS action for Sunday.
While we wait on the bass and drums, I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come and now, me and the sky run on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see.
We're back now to talk about Sunday's action. There's some early games on Sunday as well, so be aware of that. There are two that start at 2:30 Eastern, which is obviously a couple of early starts there. There's a couple of games at there's two games at 5, and then there's a game at 6 p.m. Eastern as well. So some weird start times. So check your tournaments for DFS. Check your cash games, all that sort of stuff, which games they're actually including. Now, at the moment, over on Basketball Monster, the prices haven't imported for the two early games. They're not included in the majority of the FanDuel tournaments. So I'm not going to be able to reference the prices on those ones just yet until we get it up and running. But we'll talk about the value of what's happening with these guys anyway. The first game is the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Mavericks are favored by 4, and the total is 198.5. Darren Williams apparently is dealing with an elbow issue that may be the reason why he only played 21 minutes in the last game. So we obviously want to check on his status, because if he's out, then JJ Barea becomes a pretty nice play. Williams, it's a nice matchup going against Minnesota for Darren. He's only averaging 19 points, though, across the last 3 games, and that's in 30 minutes as well. So not the greatest play here. I do like Ricky Rubio, though, going up against Williams. He's been averaging 28.6 across his last 5. I think he's got a really big chance to exceed 30 points in this one. And Karl Anthony Towns has been really consistent, averaging over 30 in his last 5 games. Yeah, the Pachulia matchup is not a great one for him, and if I'm actually choosing between those two, I probably go with Zaza, who's been absolutely Mr. Consistency, 33 fantasy points every single night, and he was the guy that I'd choose if I had to choose between those two, and I'd save a little bit of salary. Andrew Wiggins, big game in the last one, put up 43 points. Don't really count on him to do that again. He's more of a 28 sort of guy, 29 sort of value, and not sure that that's really worth investing in this game. Chandler Parsons is struggling. He's hard to rely upon in cash games. And Wes Matthews is probably in the same boat, to be honest. Dirk, really solid numbers lately, averaging 30, 33 across his last three games, put up 33 in the last one. Not all that favorable a matchup for him going against the Timberwolves. They do defend power forwards pretty well. So I reckon you can leave Dirk alone for the most part. JJ Barea, as I mentioned, if he gets the start with if Williams happens to sit, then he's a great value play. It's been very quiet lately, though, but we saw earlier on what he could do. Zach LaVine, just really struggling. It's a complete punt if you're going to throw him in, but he hasn't done anything for about 2 or 3 weeks, it feels like. The next game is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Los Angeles Clippers. No spread released for this one yet because we don't know if Anthony Davis is going to play. Quincy Pondexter has already been ruled out, but Davis is obviously dealing with that back contusion. If he plays, I think he's not a bad guy to have a look at. He's going to be priced around $10,000, but he's not a bad guy to look at. And I know people are swearing off him, never playing him again because of his injury, blah, 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 all that crap. I still think that if he's priced at $10,000, you're going to get close to 50 points from him. Chris Paul is a great option here too. The Pelicans' backcourt has been terrible in terms of point guards. They've improved a little bit lately, but Chris Paul's been on a real hot streak, so I love him. And I love DeAndre Jordan as well, as that Pelicans' frontcourt is bad against centers. And he's averaging over 41 points in the last three games and really putting up some big numbers. So is Tyreek, who's a 40-point guy himself over the last three. The Clippers match up... It decreases his value slightly, but I still think he's a good guy to have a look at. And Drew Holiday not going against Chris Paul, I don't think I want to really take too much advantage there. Now, if Davis happens to be out, then Alexei Ajinsa becomes someone that you want to look at. He put up 33.9 in the last game, and he's a very low salary player. And other guys get a bump too. Ryan Anderson will get a bump. Holiday will get somewhat of a bump also. Eric Gordon, no thanks. He's averaging under 20 in his last three, and same with Norris Cole. And guards just have a real tough time going up against the Pelicans. As for the other Clippers guys, I don't think there's really anything to get too excited about. Apart from Paul and Jordan, JJ Redick, not a bad option, but he is averaging 24 points across the last five. So depending on what his salary comes in at, might be a good play, might not. The next lot of games, I do have the salaries for these ones, so this will be a little bit easy to gauge what's happening. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Philadelphia 76ers. The Cavs are favored by 15. The total is 204. It is going to be real risky to use these Cavs guys in DFS. Because what minutes are they going to play? The matchup is tasty, but LeBron could play 27 minutes here. We saw that in the last game that the Cavs played, that they against the Timberwolves, they rested these guys. Kyrie played 27 minutes. Kevin Love might play 27 minutes. Very hard to rely upon them. LeBron's price at under 10,000, 9,900 to be exact. The matchup is good for him, but the minutes are a concern. So there is a big risk there. The Cavs, not many Cavs guys appeal. Maybe J.R. Smith, who's averaging 32 across the last three. But in that game against the Timberwolves, he only played 19. And to expect him to have 31 points in 19 minutes again is probably a little bit fanciful. He's priced at under 5,000, so can he get 25? That's what he's averaging across the last five. But, I'm okay using J.R. Smith. He's probably the best of the Cavs guys. For the Sixers, Ish Smith at 6,100, averaging 37 across the last three. I think this is a good spot, as good a spot as any to use him. Well, he's been a pretty good spot in most of the matchups, but this is a good one for him. Nerlens Noel at 26.5 is his average across the last three. Not making up the salary, and I don't want to use him against the Cavs, nor do I want to use Jahlil Okafor. I don't think there's much else in this game, to be honest. Matthew Dellavedova, could he see extra run with Kyrie potentially being limited? Maybe, but he's just not putting up numbers at the moment. It'd just be a pure tournament option and hope that he has a game where he drops 7 assists or something along that line. Jeremy Grant, Hollis Thompson, Bob Cove, Jakar Sampson, that whole melange of crapness at the small forward spot for the Sixers, I think we can pretty safely leave most of those guys well alone. Boston and Memphis is the next game up. It is doubtful that Mike Conley plays. It is doubtful that Courtney Lee plays. So, Mario Chalmers gets another chance. For the Celtics, Avery Bradley is going to play, so that reduces Evan Turner's usability. For the for Chalmers, now, he was very highly owned the last time that he played. He was disappointing, especially to start the game, but ended up not terrible. He put up 21.2 points, which at his salary at less than 5,000 isn't a huge loss. Now, the Celtics do defend point guards exceedingly well, but he's priced less than 5,000. If he can get 25 points, which you'd have to think he's going to play close to 40 minutes, he's a big chance of doing. I still think that it's a good play, despite the bad matchup. He won't be 50-point awesome like he was a couple of games ago, but he could approach 30, and he could be I think he's a solid cash game guy. I also don't mind Tony Allen at 4,000. He has averaged 23.7 across the last five. The minutes are going to be up for him. Don't love him as a player, but this is an opportunity for him to grab some boards, play some big minutes, score 10 or 11 points, get some steals, and just in general be involved. Kelly Olynyk, 4,500. Let's hope the big minutes stick for him. He put up almost 30 points in the last one. I like him to get positive value in this one. And Matt Barnes and Jeff Green are a couple of Grizzlies guys that I think are worth looking at. They're 4,900 for Barnes, 48 for Jeff Green. I like Barnes better than Green, but Green has been outperforming him across the last five games, so I can understand using Green. Green's also got, if you buy into revenge factors, he's got a little bit of that happening, so I can understand using Green, but they're fairly interchangeable to me. Marc Gasol at 7,500, Boston's defense is great for wings and point guards. Big men, fantasy points do tend to come. So Gasol's had a few big games this year already. He's already had a 47 spot in the last five. He's priced at just 7,500, so he becomes someone that is worth looking at. Zach Randolph, big fantasy numbers, 37 points in his last three. That's really good at 6,400. He's going to have to play bigger minutes again here with so many of these Grizzlies guys out. And bigger minutes for him means 28 or 29. But he put up 38.7 in the last game in 28 minutes. He is someone to consider. Isaiah Thomas at 8,000. That feels too expensive against the Grizzlies, even though Mike Conley is out. I don't think he's going to be able to do that, especially if Bradley's back. I don't want to use Bradley in his first game back at 5,100. But I am interested in Jay Crowder. Now, his salary's risen. It's up to 6,400, so that's making him less appealing, but he's still averaging 33.5 across the last three games, and there is some intrigue. It's not great. It's not must-own, but there's something there. I think we'll leave Evan Turner alone. Jared Sullinger, we can throw in a tournament because we know what he can do if the minutes fall his way, but otherwise, not much else to really go on about for either team there. The Indiana Pacers and the Houston Rockets, the next game. The game is a pick'em. The total is 205.5 points. Ty Lawson is suspended still for this one, and Dwight Howard is considered questionable. If Dwight misses, Clint Capella at 4,900 is the guy that I want to have a look at. The Pacers do defend big men pretty well, but he would likely see a much bigger role. He put up 24 points in the last game. I think that he'd be an interesting guy to go for. And then obviously you get Terrence Jones as well, who put up 26.6 in the last game. Now, I'm not using Jones if Howard plays, but I would consider him if Howard is out. On the Pacers side of things, Paul George at 8,800, really, he's not a bad option. This is Houston bump is real, and it's been real all season. Small forward is one of the best positions for oppositions to go against for the Rockets. He'll play some three, he'll play some four. He's priced under 9,000. This has got 40 points at least written all over it for Paul George, so I think this is a good spot for him. James Harden at 10,000. Yeah, I think that James Harden is worth a look. He almost dropped 50 in the last game. I think he's a chance to do it again, especially if Howard's out. I like his potential. I don't like George Hill at 5,600. Just hasn't been getting much happening over the last few games. And Monte Ellis at 6,200 has been playing better. The Houston bump could affect him positively. He's a chance for 30 points here, and that could be enough at that salary. 5,100 for Jan Mahinmi. If there's no Dwight Howard, I like Mahinmi here. He's averaging 30 points a game across the last three. Put up 37 in the last one. It's a little risky. It's probably more of a tournament play, but I don't hate it for cash either. I think there is something to be said if Dwight Howard misses out. Now, if Howard plays, he's priced at 8,000. I don't want to play a guy that's had a sore back and coming in priced at 8,000 either. That's probably not for me. And Jason Terry at 3,600 is not a bad tournament option. He's going to get a lot of run with Lawson out, and he can get hot, and he can put up 25, 30 points potentially if he gets enough of a look, which could happen for him. And Rod Stuckey at 4,400. Nah, no thanks. And CJ Miles is definitely a tournament play. 27.4 in the last game. The matchup suits him. He's priced at 4,200, so that's a nice salary. And all he needs to give you is 20 points, but we know that he can be quite streaky. So he's more a tournament option to me than a cash game play. The Milwaukee Bucks and the New York Knicks is the next game. The Knicks are favored by 5. The total is 201.5. The Bucks have got a couple of injuries, but none of them are important. Miles Plumlee is dealing with a sore knee. Tyler Ennis is sick, and Jared Bayless is unlikely to play with his ankle problem. He's probably the only one that has a real impact, because it should give more minutes to OJ Mayo, who was good in the last game. He's priced at 4,200. He's had a few stinkers, but I don't mind looking at him. The other guy I like from the Bucks is Jabari Parker, whose minutes have been rising. He's averaging 32 minutes across his last 5 games. Yes, he's only giving you about 22 fantasy points, but at 4,600, that's not far off where he needs to be. So I think that he's a nice cheap power forward option. The Knicks guys, I think there's value in them. Robin Lopez at 4,400. The minutes have been his. The production's been coming along. He's averaging 26 in the last 5. So this is a nice matchup. A big bump as well against Milwaukee. And the other guy who was fantastic in the last game,
Porzingis.
He put up 40 points in his last outing against the Spurs nonetheless. He's priced at 6,200. So you got to hope that he goes for 30 points. But the Bucks team does allow big men to go big. And Porzingis is a guy who can do that. Aaron Aflalo at 4,700, I'd reserve him strictly for tournaments. He is way too up and down for cash games for me. And Mello at 8,800, he's not a bad small forward option as well. It's between him and Paul George. I gave the nod to George as the best sort of value small forward, high-priced guy, because he's going up against the Rockets, but the Bucks are pretty bad against opposition small forwards too. So Mello is a 45-point guy waiting to happen, and that's basically what he's averaged over the last 3 as well. Michael Carter-Williams, speaking of averaging almost 45, he's averaged 43 in his last 3 games. At 7,100, I really do like getting him out there. He's been putting up big numbers. The Knicks' defense against point guards is impressive, but I think that Carter-Williams can, at least at 7,100, can push through for at least 35 points here. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 6,900. I don't want to spend up on him. And 69 for Chris Middleton. If I'm spending 69, I'm definitely taking Middleton over Antetokounmpo. And I think he's not a bad guy to look at. He's a 35 average across his last 5. He's pretty consistent with what he does. He has appeal. Greg Monroe doesn't. He's priced $500 more than Middleton and Antetokounmpo. He's giving you less fantasy points. He's not someone that's for me. Not many other guys are worth talking about in that game, I don't think. The Charlotte Hornets and the Denver Nuggets, there is no spread for this one. We are waiting on the status of Nick Batum to see whether he plays. And there are a couple of guys on the Denver Nuggets team that need looking at too. Kenneth Faried is questionable with the birth of his child. Jameer Nelson is questionable with a hip flexor strain. And Emmanuel Mudiay has been upgraded to probable. So you would think that Mudiay will play and maybe Nelson will sit. Doesn't mean that I necessarily want to use Mudiay. He is priced appealingly at 4,900. So maybe you throw him into a tournament, but it's not a great one. Yusuf Nurkic on Denver at 4,300. Bit disappointing in the last game, but that's a cheap center option. But there are other good cheap center options around. Kelly Olynyk and Robin Lopez are all priced around the same. They're probably a little bit more consistent than what Nurkic is. Nurkic will no doubt have a higher upside, so maybe we'll look at him. Maybe not a higher upside than Olynyk, to be honest, but I'd look at him in a tournament over Robin Lopez. But in a cash game, not sure it's the best use of your $4,000. Jeremy Lin at 5,300. He goes up if Batum is out. If not, he's still a good play. He put up 36 today. He's averaging 26, and that's exceeding 5x value. Batum, if he happens to play, I like his value. I like the matchup for him. If he plays, there's a big if there. And 4,900 for Cody Zeller, I think, is a reasonable salary, and I think he's a solid cash game option. Danilo Gallinari at 7,100 has been on fire lately. He's averaging 39 in those last 3 games. I don't imagine much slowing down here. He's carrying this team. He's someone that I would look to use also. Not too keen on Marvin Williams, Gary Harris, Nikola Jokic. Don't think there's much there. What about Will Barton? He has been terrible lately. 6,900 is his salary. He's averaging 12.97 points in the last 3 games. He's also had a 46-point game in his last 5. The matchup is okay for him, but I'm just a little bit concerned. I would not be using him in a cash game. I can understand using him in a tournament and hoping he gets back to that stage, but let's see how he gets used by Mike Malone here. Kemba Walker. Walker's had a habit this year of having a bad game, or when he has a bad game, bouncing back really strongly. It's a favorable matchup. He is priced at 8,800 though, so that's pretty expensive. Can you expect him to exceed 45 points? I don't think you can have that sort of expectation on him, but in a tournament, he can go. We know he can go huge. He could drop 60, and he could be someone that's definitely worth considering at least. Jeremy Lamb felt a bit fluky today, but if Batum's out at 4,200, tournaments can definitely take a look at him and hope that something happens. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Portland Trail Blazers is next up. The Thunder are favored by 7.5. The total is 214 points here. Not real injuries to concern ourselves with in this one. Damian Lillard at 8,900 up against Russell Westbrook. This is a real chance for 50 points for Lillard here. I think that he's in a really good spot as a high-priced point guard. Now, you have to spend an extra $1,700 to get Russell Westbrook. I don't think I'd want to spend that extra $1,700 to get as good as he's been. Lillard has the ability at that much cheaper price to return very similar value. So I think Lillard's the better option out of those two point guards. $3,600 for campaign. Maybe if you're just desperate to swing a cheap point guard in, you could look at him. He's averaging over 16 points in his last three, but you want him to be a little bit higher. You want him to get to 20, and that feels like it's a bit limited. Enes Kanter at 4,800. The matchup's great against the Portland front court. Yeah, superb matchup, but the minutes sort of restrict him to being a tournament guy. Same with Steven Adams at 4,200. Although Adams has been consistently giving you sort of 22 points, and at 4,200, 22 points is almost spot on the money. 10,100 for Kevin Durant. He's a 47-point guy across the last three. I'm definitely okay with using him against the Timberwolves. Not the Timberwolves. What am I talking about? Against the Trailblazers. CJ McCollum, 8,200. That's too high for him at the moment. Only averaging 27 in his last three. The return of Lillard has hampered him somewhat. I'm not going to spend up for him, nor will I do it for Leonard, Myers Leonard, or Al-Farouq Aminu. And Mason Plumlee at 5,200 hasn't been returning value on that sort of salary, so I think we can leave him out of it as well. The last game of the night is the Utah Jazz and the Los Angeles Lakers. No spread because there's a lot of injuries here. Rod Hood and Derek Favors from the Jazz, we don't know if they're playing. Kobe Bryant is also listed as probable for the Lakers, and D'Angelo Russell with his ankle is questionable, and Brandon Bass has a corneal abrasion as well. So lots of guys who are up in the air. If Hood plays and there's no restrictions, the matchup suits him. He's at 5,200. I'd like using him. If Favors plays, great matchup, but he's been out too long for me to go too hard on him. 7,300 for Gordon Hayward. The salary just doesn't really rise for him. He's good for 33, 34 points most nights, and it's a nice solid cash game guy. Like Lou Williams at 5,500, unless he gets the Chris Johnson treatment. We'll see. And if D'Angelo Russell is out, Jordan Clarkson at 6,100, does he have appeal? Not really to me. At 6,100, that salary is just a little bit too high. You want him to be a 30-point guy, and I'm just not really sure that he's going to get to that at this stage. Larry Nance at 4,200. This is not the right spot to play Larry Nance. Definitely not in cash games. And 6,900 for Gobert. I would have loved it. He put up 30 today, but it's a back-to-back. He played 28 minutes today. I don't think that he goes higher than that. He might go down to 27 or 26. And that really limits his ability to return value. As good as the Lakers are, they might just limit his minutes after missing so much time. So Gobert, not a great option to me. Don't want to use Julius Randle either. He just can't get any consistent form going or any minutes happening. And Jeff Withey's role has been reduced clearly with Gobert back. All right, that does it for the games. Let's bring up the DFS recommended plays, not including those first two early games. At point guard, Mario Chalmers, 4,900, Jeremy Lin, 5,300, and Damian Lillard, 8,900. Shooting guards, Tony Allen, 4,000, Lou Williams, 5,500, and James Harden at 10,000. Small forwards, Matt Barnes, 4,900. You could throw Jeff Green in there as well. Danilo Gallinari at 71, and Paul George at 88, and also there's Mallow at 88 too. Power forwards, Jabari Parker, 4,600. Kristaps
percentages
at 6,200. And there's no one I like as an expensive power forward. The only real guy on the slate is Derek Favors, and we don't even know if he's going to play. So you're not paying up for power forwards. At center, lots of guys there as well. Robin Lopez at 4,400. There's also Kelly Olynyk and Yusuf Nurkic around that price range. Jan Mahinmi at 51 is a mid-range guy. And I like Marc Gasol at 75. And I could also throw DeAndre Jordan in as another option at that high price center position. Don't forget, guys, follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_BBall. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It really helps out a lot when you subscribe and when you leave a review, and you get to be a sponsor of the show. So that's always an added bonus there. Subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. Even if you're not watching on YouTube, just go ahead and subscribe. It always helps make the podcast more viable with more people watching and listening and subscribing and reviewing and all that sort of stuff. Don't forget, Basketball Monster fantasyfootball.com for all of your fantasy basketball leagues and daily fantasy projections and tools and all that sort of stuff. And for just reading about the NBA in general, Hardwood Paroxysm has stacks of stuff happening there, as well as the podcasts that run through the Hardwood Paroxysm Network, which hopefully you're hearing this podcast on as well. We are done today, guys. That is it. Hope you guys, good luck in your matchups for Sunday. Good luck in your DFS lineups. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.